Now let's just read a few verses from the Epistle to the Galatians. The Epistle to the Galatians, and in chapter 2. And we'll read from verse 16. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. For if, while we seek to be justified by Christ, we also are found sinners, is therefore Christ the minister of sin? God forbid. For if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. For I through the law am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. I want to take that second last verse that we read together as the focus of our thoughts this evening. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Now these are very wonderful words of testimony that Paul is giving to us in this particular situation. And tonight I want to focus our thoughts on what it really means to be a Christian. Now you may say that's very strange, because we hear it week by week and so on. But I find that from time to time there are those who are not aware of what Christianity is all about, what it involves, and all the things that come through belief and the aspects. And very often these things can be resolved by a very simple means. We find that there are those who long before us have laid down these things. And I think of that occasion when Martin Luther was having his table talk with his friends. He remarked to them that they were to read the scriptures, study the scriptures, but there were certain things that they were not to forget. And that is, he said, the little words. And he said to them, remember those prepositions. And there's three prepositions tonight that I want to bring before you. For, in, and through. And I believe that these three prepositions form for us the real heart of the Christian message and our understanding of it in a personal way. Christ for me. I think one of the matters that causes a concern at the present time, I certainly have been thinking about it for a number of years now. I think that many Christians have lost sight of what the Christian experience really is. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, I think that there is a sense in which we spend too much time talking about what we did to become a Christian. And we seem to concentrate on certain things. We love to talk about the date of our conversion, where our conversion took place, who was responsible for that work of conversion and the preaching of the gospel and things of this kind. And it's all focusing on us. But I think we have to stop and think about what we are doing, because it's not a matter of focusing on us, it's a matter of focusing on Christ. Now listen to what Paul says. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. But yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Paul is very insignificant in that particular verse, because his total focus is on what Christ has done. And that's something that we need to think about very carefully in these days. But you know, sometimes when we raise these issues and these matters, there are those who object. There are certain parts of Scotland today, if I were to go and say what I have just said with regard to the work of salvation, there would be somebody, perhaps more than one person, would be turning to me and saying to me, that's presumption. You may think that's very strange, but it's not. That's a very common thing out on the Western Isles and in the northwest coast of Scotland. And I've tried at certain times to speak to ministers and speak to individuals and ask them, what do you mean by its mere presumption? And then I discovered a very interesting thing. The Roman Catholic Church at the Council of Trent made this statement. And this is a statement of belief for the Roman Catholic people today. Believer's assurance of the pardon of his sin is a vain and ungodly confidence. And Cardinal Bellarmine, who was to organize the Counter-Reformation work in Scotland at the time of the Reformation, says, assurance is the prime error of the heretics and is mere presumption. So you see, here is a situation where there are people caught in this situation of, do they take the scriptures or are they influenced by other than the scriptures? If we take the scriptures, there is no hesitation about this whole matter, as Paul points out to us here in the verse that we've taken as our text. And this is something, you see, that we need to look at very, very carefully. Those people who talk about presumption, they've never looked at the consequences of saying such a thing. If it's mere presumption, there cannot be unreserved belief. And if there's no unreserved belief, there is no access to God. There is no evidence of Christ for me or in me. And they have no hope of eternal salvation. But you see, when we go back to the Scriptures, we find that the Scriptures makes it quite clear to us, and time again, that this work of salvation that has been wrought for us through the Lord Jesus Christ, in one sense is not dependent upon us. Our Lord Jesus Christ, in that wonderful word of invitation, says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And it's our response to that invitation of Christ that brings us into the fellowship. But how does that come about? Well, it comes about by the first of all, the knowledge that all this work is by the grace of God. He is a gracious God, and God has made that provision for us in our Lord Jesus Christ to bring this message of salvation to us. And He has also made it possible through the work of the Holy Spirit to enable us to come to a knowledge of the truth as it is in Christ. And through that, we are able to see something of the wonder of this situation. Through the shedding of the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, we are told by Paul in the Epistle to the Ephesians, we have redemption, we have the forgiveness of sins, and it is all according to the riches of God's grace. And yet, there are those who say that they have to depend upon good works. And so we come to recognize that what Paul is saying here is that if we are to experience the wonderful joy and peace that comes with such a work of grace, and to know the joy of Christ in us, it is something that is not of our doing, but it's all of the grace of God. But then there's a second thing that we need to keep in mind as well. It's not only Christ for me, it's Christ in me. Now this is one of the consequences of this acknowledging the work of grace and coming to a knowledge of the truth as it is in Jesus Christ. Through faith, and not of yourselves, it's a gift of God. And how do we find out what this really means, this aspect of Christ in me? Well, listen to what our Lord Jesus Christ has to say about this whole matter. It's something that we need to think about very, very carefully when he is speaking about it. He says in the John's Gospel that my Father and I will come and will dwell with you. And he also says that in this experience of yielding to the invitation of the Gospel, that the Holy Spirit will be there, our Paraclete, ready to be called alongside in time of need, our Comforter. And all of these things come through our attachment, our association, our belief, and our union with the Lord Jesus Christ. Through faith, we receive the knowledge of God, not a mere intellectual knowledge of the mind, but the spiritual knowledge of the heart, which is according to John's Gospel, as we saw this morning, life eternal. Knowledge by which we know God as our God, the God who loves us in this life and who will save us one day in the glory of heaven. These are all the things that come from it. And through faith, we have a firm conviction that Jesus died for me and that I am saved by grace through faith. And through faith, we are able to say, I am not my own, but I belong in life and in death to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. Now what a difference, that situation brings to life. A very wonderful illustration of this came to me as I was preparing these notes, and it took me back to the days when I was in the army down at a transit camp in Yorkshire, who were very near the town of Topcliffe. And we were waiting to be taken to the Middle East, and we had time on our hands, and particularly at weekends. And a friend and I, we made our way to Topcliffe to find the Methodist Church. We were given a very warm welcome. And at the very first meeting with the minister, he said to us, if you're still here, please come to our class meeting on Thursday. We went along to the class meeting on Thursday, and there would be over 20 men seated there in this little anteroom. I called them motley crew, because there were all kinds of situations there. There was a squadron leader who was in charge of the airfield at Topcliffe. There was an assistant chief constable from the Metropolitan Police. There were farmers, there were doctors, there were all kinds of people. And there were two of us, mere squaddies, sitting there. And the purpose of the meeting was to share their experience of Christ from one meeting to the other. And they were talking about a meeting that they had had 2 weeks before. But there was one man that broke the ranks. And he was an old man. I still see his wonderful face, hardened by the work that he did on the farm. And he began to tell us his story. We wondered what it would be like. But as he began to tell the story, we began to realize that here was a man that had an encounter with Jesus Christ. When he was 70 years of age, his aged mother, who was over 90 years of age, lay dying. And he told us that the very last words that he heard from his mother's lips were these words, "O God, save my wayward son." He passed over the rest of the other years after that, but told us that some 15 years after that, he was faced with a situation, something like the weather conditions that we had during December. Hard frost and snow, and they had to go out and feed the animals, take out the hay and the turnips for the sheep and for the cattle. And I still see him as he's describing it to us, distributing this, and his hands were going something like this, you see. And then he says, suddenly I was struck to the earth. And we wondered what was coming. He says, "And I was struck to the earth, and I heard clearly the voice of my mother saying, 'O God, save my wayward son.'" And that man lying there amid the turnips and the hay turned, and in full repentance he turned and he trusted Christ. And as his face lit up, and he was excited as he was telling us, and he turned and he says, "And you know," he says, "when I got up," he says, "the turnips were bigger and the sheep were fatter." But you see, that was the reaction of a man who had come into a living relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And he knew the reality then of Christ in me. May I just say, add my own word of testimony to that I've just given you? This year, and I thank God for all the years that he has given me, this is my 70th year since I was converted. And as I look back to that night in the vestry in the Baptist church in Oban, I recall very clearly all that happened that night when I yielded to Jesus Christ. But the thing about it is, if I were to tell you the whole story, I'd have to go back a little bit further. Not when I was 14 and a half years old, but to go back as far as 10 years old, and to see the way in which God was leading and directing my life. And when I was asked, when I was 10 years old, "Sinclair, have you crossed the line yet?" And I said to myself, "I don't know what you mean, but I've been brought up in a Christian family, and what do I need to cross the line for?" I went on at that time until that night in Oban. But there was a whole host of things that happened that when I look back now, I can see God's hand in every stage of that situation. And I want to say this evening, I rejoice in the glorious fact that Jesus Christ is a reality to me. 70 years, as I can say with assurance, with confidence here this evening, that there has not been one single occasion that I could turn and say, "The Lord failed me." More and more, who found this. I want to just say this evening, as I was standing at the door this morning, one young lady came to me and she said, "Oh, it was lovely to hear you quote Psalm 32. She says, "That's the psalm that our lives are based on." I says, "Well, that's very strange." And we shared an incident. And she said, "You know," she said, "we've had that experience as well. God never fails." But then there is a third aspect of it. And it's not only Christ in me. It's not only Christ, Christ for me and Christ in me, but it's Christ through me. You see, this is something that Christians today perhaps have never considered or even thought about. Why has God done this for us? Why has God called me to be one of His children, His redeemed children? Why is it that God has brought me into fellowship with other people of like minds? Well, as we said this morning, it's because God has a plan for you. And that's where the aspect of Christ through me. You read the New Testament carefully, and you will find that time and again we are exhorted that our lives are to be lived not to our glory, not to anything that belongs to us, but our lives are to be lived, if we know Christ in us, to the glory of God and Jesus Christ. Do you remember that old chorus? We don't hear it sung very much today, but it gives the essence of the whole thing. It Christ through me means that we are to see the beauty of Christ. Let the beauty of Jesus be seen in me, all His wondrous compassion and purity. O Thou Spirit Divine, all my nature refine, till the beauty of Jesus is seen in me. Many years ago, I got a copy of a very lovely poem. This poem is written by a lady called Beatrice Cleland, and she just wanted to write something that would express her appreciation and thanks to the lady who led her to Christ. Let me read it to you. Not merely in the words you say, not only in your deeds confessed, but in the most unconscious way is Christ expressed. Is it a beatific smile, a holy light upon your brow? Oh no, I felt His presence while you laughed just now. For me, 'twas not the truth that you taught to you so clear, to me so still dim. But when you came to me, you brought a sense of Him. And from your eyes He beckons me, and from your heart His love is shed, till I lose sight of you and see the Christ instead." Beautiful words. And that's what we are to be as Christians today. Yes, it's very wonderful. And when we begin to look at what the pages of the Scriptures bring to us, it's nothing less that is asked of us. Now, we are to indeed be in that situation, as Beatrice Cleland puts it, that when we are mixing around with other people, they don't see us, but they see the Christ instead. Time is gone, but let me just bring before you one further thing that will make this real and precious to you. I'm using these illustrations because they have a wonderful content in them. And the last picture that I want to bring to you is from Uncle Tom's Cabin. It's strange how that book has disappeared from sight on the bookshelves, but it was a wonderful story, and it was one of the most moving and touching scenes when poor Uncle Tom was found in his cabin nursing the wounds that Simon Legree had inflicted upon him with his whip. George Shelby, a friend of old Uncle Tom, came to visit him, and when he saw his condition, he wanted to take him back to Kentucky. Uncle Tom refused, and then he turned and he said, "Master George, Jesus can make a dying bed feel soft as downy pillows are. Master George, what a thing it is to be a Christian." And then he raised himself up as much as he could, and looking at George Shelby straight in the eye, he turned to him and he said, Who shall separate from separate us from the love of Christ?" And he lay back and passed to his rest. Mrs. Harriet Beecher Stowe adopted a very wonderful attitude to the story, and she has a wonderful phraseology in it, and she says that George Shelby sat there transfixed with a solemn awe, and the only thought that was in his mind wasn't the verses from God's word. It was these words that Uncle Tom said to him, "Master George, what a thing it is to be a Christian." And my friends, I'm going to put it into our own situation here this evening. I'm a stranger among you, but like Uncle Tom, I'm saying to each one of you as individuals, and I'm pressing the message of God's word upon your hearts here this evening, and I'm saying to you, gentlemen, ladies, boys and girls, what a thing it is to be a Christian. You know, we sometimes wonder what lies ahead, and we try to paint pictures and give examples and try to work everything out. You know, I'm not concerned so much about all the attendant things that's going to come when our Lord Jesus returns to this scene of time. I'm only concerned about one thing, that I'm going to see the one who gave me this wonderful salvation. It's Christ for me. Christ in me. And Christ through me. And if you want to know a life of peace and joy, a life that day by day you can come and you can lay yourself down and you can cry to God and you can say to God, God, help me in this situation. And you know that God is able to answer, because God is the one of whom Paul says that He is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. That's what makes a Christian. And I trust that this evening you will ponder these things and you will think about these things and you will come as that old man at Topcliffe did, that you'll come with all your need, with all your insufficiency, with all your past and with all the things that you're ashamed of, but that you'll come as a helpless sinner and you'll come to Jesus Christ and say, Lord, I am come. Save me. And He will. May the Lord bless each one of you this evening. And as I return, I can assure you that you will be much in my thoughts and in my prayers, and I'll be thinking, I wonder if anyone came to know the Lord Jesus Christ here tonight, for His name's sake. Amen.